We've been following breaking news in the Catholic Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis.
And rare news at that. Archbishop John Nienstedt and an auxiliary bishop, Lee Pichet, have both stepped down 10 days after prosecutors charged the Archdiocese with mishandling clergy sex abuse cases, and just 5 days after Pope Francis approved a new committee to hold bishops accountable for abuse cases. 2 years ago, a whistleblower from the Archdiocese went to Minnesota Public Radio with a charge of a cover-up of abuse and abusive priests being allowed to continue to minister. The resulting documentary just won a Peabody Award. As part of the reporting on the story, Archbishop Nienstedt told reporter Madeline Barron he was unaware of widespread patterns of abuse.
You have to understand how the office works here. You've got several things coming at you every day. And I had to deal with them as they came up one by one by one, you know. And I, in a sense, didn't see the forest for the trees. I was aware of certain problems with misconduct on the part of different priests on a day-to-day basis, but I didn't get the overall picture of where we stood.
Archbishop Nienstedt a year ago. Madeline Barron joins us now. And Madeline, back up for those of us outside the Twin Cities. What did you find in your research?
Right. So in the fall of 2013, we found that Archbishop Nienstedt and his predecessors had continued to cover up clergy sex abuse in the Twin Cities long after the church had vowed to change. Nienstedt had authorized secret payments to priests who had admitted to abusing children. He and others had failed to report some alleged sex crimes to police. Some priests were kept in ministry who had been accused of abusing kids. And there were a whole lot of abusers or accused priests living in the community who no one knew about.
Yeah. Since then, there have been calls for his resignation. Nothing concrete happened. And then, as we said, 10 days ago, prosecutors charged the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis with mishandling complaints about priests sexually abusing children. Has the archbishop been charged?
No. The Ramsey County prosecutor, when he announced the criminal charges, he said that at the time, 10 days ago, he did not have sufficient evidence to charge any individual. However, that criminal investigation is still active. So there is still a chance that even though Nienstedt has resigned, that he could face criminal charges.
And how is this reverberating there? What was the support for the archbishop?
By the time that he resigned, he had almost no support. This is a man who had lost the support not only of parishioners, but of his priests, and not only the priests who disagreed with him. Nienstedt's a very vocal bishop on a lot of the social issues of the Catholic Church. He's very opposed to, for example, same-sex marriage. So people had who disagreed with him on that had not been fans of his. But what you saw over the last 2 years was a disintegration of his authority. People felt like he was no longer in charge. Even the most conservative priests had lost respect for him. So he was a leader who had authority on paper, but who had lost the respect of the people that he was supposed to be leading.
And what about his predecessor, Archbishop Harry Flynn?
Well, Flynn is an interesting character in this because it's really, we found in our investigation, Archbishop Flynn, who put a lot of the pieces in place to cover up clergy sex abuse and keep the cover-up going after the scandal in Boston in 2002. And he has since, of course, retired, and he's not been the face of the scandal in the way that Nienstedt has, even though our investigation found in many ways he was more instrumental to this cover-up than Nienstedt.
And I notice you're not saying, yeah, I mean, you're a serious newswoman now with a Peabody, but you're not saying alleged cover-up. You feel that you had enough evidence.
Yes, we had tens of thousands of internal documents leaked to us from the Archdiocese. We had about 100,000 pages of court documents, lengthy interviews with a whistleblower who had worked alongside Nienstedt, interviews with other sources. This was something that we were very comfortable calling a cover-up. When you see the memos that the church officials wrote to each other, they are explicitly talking about how to keep this quiet.
Now, talk about the whistleblower that led you to this story.
Well, Jennifer Hasselberger, she worked as a chancellor in the Archdiocese, so she was one of Nienstedt's top advisors, and she had resigned in April of 2013 in protest of the church's handling of clergy sex abuse. She had tried to encourage Neinsted, push Neinsted to change and to reform how the church was handling clergy sex abuse. That was unsuccessful, and so she resigned and came to me in July of 2013 and was really concerned. What motivated her was a concern that children in the archdiocese were still at risk, that there were priests in ministry, priests living in the community who posed a risk to children, and no one knew who they were.
Well, and you pulled that thread and found evidence of secret payments to priests, priests kept on in violation of church policy, a failure to report, allegations of sex crimes. How many victims do you think there are?
One of the more shocking documents that I found from the leak from the Chancery was a list of about 150 victims, just names. These are names the Archdiocese had kept. Now in bankruptcy, the Archdiocese has filed for bankruptcy. We're close to 200 claims from people who say they were abused by priests. And I talk to people basically every week who call me who have not reported this still. These are men in their 60s, 70s, even their 80s, who haven't told their wives about this, let alone decided to file a lawsuit or a claim in bankruptcy court. So I think the scope of this, we're dealing with at least several hundred, maybe even more than that.
That's Madeline Barron of Minnesota Public Radio. We'll link you to their Peabody Award-winning documentary on the church sex abuse scandal in St. Paul, Minneapolis. It's called Betrayed by Silence. We'll link you at herenow.org. Madeline, thank you.
You're welcome.